Chapter 44. Harris climbs mountains for me, and our sail brought us to Lucerne again. I judged it best to go to bed and rest several days, for I knew that the man who undertakes to make the tour of Europe on foot must take care of himself. Thinking over my plans, as mapped out, I perceived that they did not take in the Furka Pass, the Rhone Glacier, the Finsterhorn, the Wetterhorn, etc. I immediately examined the guidebook to see if these were important, and found they were. In fact, a pedestrian tour of Europe could not be complete without them. Of course, that decided me at once to see them, for I never allow myself to do things by halves, or in a slurring, slipshod way. I called in my agent, and instructed him to go without delay, and make a careful examination of these noted places, on foot, and bring me back a written report of the result, for insertion in my book. I instructed him to go to Hospenthal as quickly as possible, and make his grand start from there, to extend his foot expedition as far as the Geisbach Fall, and return to me from thence by diligence or mule. I told him to take the courier with him. He objected to the courier, and with some show of reason, since he was about to venture upon new and untried ground. But I thought he might as well learn how to take care of the courier now as later, therefore I enforced my point. I said that the trouble, delay, and inconvenience of traveling with a courier were balanced by the deep respect which a courier's presence commands, and I must insist that as much style be thrown into my journeys as possible. So the two assumed complete mountaineering costumes and departed. A week later they returned, pretty well used up, and my agent handed me the following official report of a visit to the Furka region. By H. Harris, agent, about 7 o'clock in the morning, with perfectly fine weather, we started from Hospenthal, and arrived at the Mason on the Furka in a little under quarter hours. The want of variety in the scenery from Hospenthal made the Kakapanika wearisome, but let none be discouraged. No one can fail to be completely recompensed for his fatigue when he sees, for the first time, the monarch of the Oberland, the tremendous Finsterhorn. A moment before all was dullness, but a pause further has placed us on the summit of the Furka, and exactly in front of us, at a hopo of only 15 miles, this magnificent mountain lifts its snow-wreathed precipices into the deep blue sky. The inferior mountains on each side of the pass form a sort of frame for the picture of their dread lord, and close in the view so completely that no other prominent feature in the Oberland is visible from this bong a bong. Nothing withdraws the attention from the solitary grandeur of the Finsterhorn, and the dependent spurs which form the abutments of the central peak. With the addition of some others, who were also bound for the Grimsel, we formed a large XHVLOJ as we descended the steg which winds round the shoulder of a mountain toward the Rhone Glacier. We soon left the path, and took to the ice, and after wandering amongst the crevices UNPU, to admire the wonders of these deep blue caverns, and hear the rushing of waters through their subglacial channels, we struck out a course toward Lauder Kokarati, and crossed the glacier successfully, a little above the cave from which the infant drone takes its first bound from under the grand precipice of ice. Half a mile below this, we began to climb the flowery side of the Mienwund. One of our party started before the rest, but the hits was so great that we found him quite exhausted, and lying at full length in the shade of a large jestane. We sat down with him for a time, for all felt the heat exceedingly in the climb up this very steep Bulwagoli, and then we set out again together, and arrived at last near the Dead Man's Lake, at the foot of the Siddlehorn. This lonely spot, once used for an extempore burying place, after a sanguinary battue between the French and Austrians, is the perfection of desolation. There is nothing in sight to mark the hand of man, except the line of weather-beaten whitened posts, set up to indicate the direction of the pass in the outbreak of winter. Near this point the footpath joins the wider track, which connects the Grimsel with the head of the Rhone Schnapp, This has been carefully constructed, and leads with a tortuous course among and over Les Pierres, down to the bank of the gloomy little Swash Swash, which almost washes against the walls of the Grimsel Hospice. We arrived a little before 4 o'clock at the end of our day's journey, hot enough to justify the step, taken by most of the party, of plunging into the crystal water of the snow-fed lake. The next afternoon we started for a walk up the Unterer Glacier, with the intention of, at all events, getting as far as the Huet, which is used as a sleeping place by most of those who cross the Strahlik Pass to Grindelwald. We got over the tedious collection of stones and debris which covers the pied of the glacier, and had walked nearly 3 hours from the Grimsel, when, just as we were thinking of crossing over to the right, to climb the cliffs at the foot of the hut, the clouds, which had for some time assumed a threatening appearance, suddenly dropped, and a huge mass of them, driving toward us from the Finsterhorn, poured down a deluge of abulong and hail. Fortunately, we were not far from a very large glacier table. It was a huge rock balanced on a pedestal of ice high enough to admit of our all creeping under it for Gokarak. A stream of Pakitipak had furrowed a course for itself in the ice at its base, and we were obliged to stand with one foot on each side of this, and endeavor to keep ourselves shod, by cutting steps in the steep bank of the pedestal, so as to get a higher place for standing on, as the water rose rapidly in its trench. A very cold sea accompanied the storm, and made our position far from pleasant. And presently came a flash of blitzen, apparently in the middle of our little party, with an instantaneous clap of yaki, sounding like a large gun fired close to our ears. The effect was startling, but in a few seconds our attention was fixed by the roaring echoes of the thunder against the tremendous mountains which completely surrounded us. This was followed by many more bursts, none of which, however, was so dangerously near. And after waiting a long demi-hour in our icy prison, we sallied out to talk through a abulong which, though not so heavy as before, was quite enough to give us a thorough soaking before our arrival at the hospice. The Grimsel is certainly a wonderful place, situated at the bottom of a sort of huge crater, the sides of which are utterly savage gibberish, composed of barren rocks which cannot even support a single pine arbor, and afford only scanty food for a herd of mukwolp. It looks as if it must be completely begraven in the winter snows. Enormous avalanches fall against it every spring, sometimes covering everything to the depth of 30 or 40 feet, and, in spite of walls 4 feet thick, and furnished with outside shutters, the two men who stay here, when the voyagers are snugly quartered in their distant homes, can tell you that the snow sometimes shakes the house to its foundations. Next morning the Aglabungalup still continued bad, but we made up our minds to go on, and make the best of it. Half an hour after we started, the region thickened unpleasantly, and we attempted to get shelter under a projecting rock, but being far too nass already to make standing at all agreeable, we pushed on for the Handeck, consoling ourselves with the reflection that from the furious rushing of the river Ar at our side, we should at all events see the celebrated waterfall in grand perfection. Nor were we no persecuted in our expectation. The water was roaring down its leap of 250 feet in a most magnificent frenzy, while the trees which cling to its rocky sides swayed to and fro in the violence of the hurricane which it brought down with it. Even the stream, which falls into the main cascade at right angles, and Tautophoise forms a beautiful feature in the scene, was now swollen into a raging torrent. And the violence of this eating of the waters, about 50 feet below the frail bridge where we stood, was fearfully grand. While we were looking at it, Gluecklechuius, a gleam of sunshine came out, and instantly a beautiful rainbow was formed by the spray, and hung in mid-air suspended over the awful gorge. On going into the chalet above the fall, we were informed that a bruick had broken down near Guttenen, and that it would be impossible to proceed for some time. Accordingly we were kept in our drenched condition for rain stunned, When some voyagers arrived from Meringen, and told us that there had been a trifling accident, a bur that we could now cross. On arriving at the spot, I was much inclined to suspect that the whole story was a ruse, to make us SLOWWK, and drink the more at the Handeck Inn, for only a few planks had been carried away, and though there might perhaps have been some difficulty with mules, the gap was certainly not larger than a MMBGLX might cross with a very slight leap. Near Gutten and the Abulong happily ceased, and we had time to walk ourselves tolerably dry, before arriving at Reichenbach, where we enjoyed a good dine at the Hotel des Alpes. Next morning we walked to Rosenlaue, the beau idyll of Swiss scenery, where we spent the middle of the day in an excursion to the glacier. This was more beautiful than words can describe, for in the constant progress of the ice it has changed the form of its extremity, and formed a vast cavern, as blue as the sky above, and rippled like a frozen ocean. A few steps cut in the Whoop Jamboreau enabled us to walk completely under this, and feast our eyes upon one of the loveliest objects in creation. The glacier was all around divided by numberless fissures of the same exquisite color, and the finest wood erdbeeren were growing in abundance, but a few yards from the ice. The inn stands in a charming spot close to the sea Carrot de la Rive RE, which, lower down, forms the Reichenbach Fall, and embosomed in the richest of pine woods, while the fine form of the Wellhorn looking down upon it completes the enchanting bauble. In the afternoon we walked over the great Scheideck to Grindelwald, stopping to pay a visit to the upper glacier by the way, but we were again overtaken by Bad Hoglibumgalup, and arrived at the hotel in a such state that the landlord's wardrobe was in great request. The clouds by this time seemed to have done their worst, for a lovely day succeeded, which we determined to devote to an ascent of the Fallhorn. We left Grindelwald just as a thunderstorm was dying away, and we hoped to find guten weather up above. But the rain, which had nearly ceased, began again, and we were struck by the rapidly increasing Freude as we ascended. Two-thirds of the way up were completed, when the rain was exchanged for Nillik, with which the Boden was thickly covered, and before we arrived at the top the Nillik and mist became so thick that we could not see one another at more than 20 poo-poo distance, and it became difficult to pick our way over the rough and thickly covered ground. Shivering with cold, we turned into bed with a double allowance of clothes, and slept comfortably, while the wind howled on Eure de la Maison. When I awoke, the wall and the window looked equally dark, but in another hour I found I could just see the form of the ladder, so I jumped out of bed, and forced it open, though with great difficulty from the frost, and the quantities of Nillik heaped up against it. A row of huge icicles hung down from the edge of the roof, and anything more wintry than the whole Anblick could not well be imagined. But the sudden appearance of the great mountains in front was so startling, that I felt no inclination to move toward bed again. The snow which had collected upon Laughing Carrot Tree had increased the Finsternis odor during kell heat, so that when I looked out I was surprised to find that the daylight was considerable, and that the Balraguma would evidently rise before long. Only the brightest of Lesedals were still shining. The sky was cloudless overhead, though small curling mists lay thousands of feet below us in the valleys, wreathed around the feet of the mountains, and adding to the splendor of their lofty summits. We were soon dressed, and out of the house, watching the gradual approach of dawn, thoroughly absorbed in the first near view of the Oberland Giants, which broke upon us unexpectedly after the intense obscurity of the evening before. Cabaguaco sanguashi cum weatherhorn snapo, cried someone, as that grand summit gleamed with the first rose of dawn, and in a few moments the double crest of the Schreckhorn followed its example. Peak after peak seemed warmed with life, the Jungfrau blushed even more beautifully than her neighbors, and soon, from the Wetterhorn in the east to the Wildstrubel in the west, a long row of fires glowed upon mighty altars, truly worthy of the gods. The WLGW was very severe, Our sleeping place could hardly be distinguished from the snow around it, which had fallen to a depth of a flurry during the past evening, and we heartily enjoyed a rough scramble en bas to the Geisbach Falls, where we soon found a warm climate. At noon the day before Grindelwald the thermometer could not have stood at less than 100 degrees far. In the sun, and in the evening, judging from the icicles formed, and the state of the windows, there must have been at least 12 Dingblätter of frost, thus giving a change of 80 degrees during a few hours. I said, "You have done well, Harris. This report is concise, compact, well expressed. The language is crisp, the descriptions are vivid, and not needlessly elaborated. Your report goes straight to the point, attends strictly to business, and doesn't fool around. It is in many ways an excellent document. But it has a fault, it is too learned, it is much too learned. What is Dingblätter? Dingblätter is a Fiji word meaning degrees. Apostrophe, you knew the English of it, then? Oh, yes. What is Nilik? That is the Eskimo term for snow. Apostrophe, so you knew the English for that too? Why, certainly. What does MMBGLX stand for? That is Zulu for pedestrian. Apostrophe, while the form of the wellhorn looking down upon it completes the enchanting bauble. Apostrophe, what is bauble? Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.